About last full day here at camp. You know, you guys got to go hard. Are you guys keeping your end of the deal with me? That you're going to give me everything you got? Yeah? All right, well, I'm going to pray. And then we got a lot to talk about today. We get to talk twice today, this morning and tonight. Are you guys okay with that? Yeah. Two big conversations that we're going to have today. So let's pray and ask God to be here. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for all that you are doing in the lives of these students. Father, I thank you for all that they can learn in all of their different classes this week. But Father, I praise you most of all for what you're doing in their hearts through these times in their lives. Thank you. Thank you, God. Father, continue, God. Draw them into Jesus. I pray that with all of my heart. Don't let up. Don't let these talks, God, fall on deaf ears. I pray that, God, you would keep them near you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about what happened last night. In some of your guys' lives and in some of your guys' decisions to follow Jesus. And some of you guys didn't stay back last night because you're just like, man, I'm all in. I've been all in. I love Jesus. And that's totally cool. The last thing I would want you to feel is guilt for that. Like, dude, I'm so glad. Like if someone gave the message that I gave last night and asked if people wanted to stay back and I was in the audience, I wouldn't have stayed. I'm in. I love Jesus. This is all that I'm in for. But some of you guys, you did. Last night, you decided you were going to follow Jesus for your whole life. And I praise God for that. In my stressing last night and throughout all of these messages and stressing that, like, I want you to finish. I want you to follow Jesus, not just for this week, not just for while you're at this school, but for your whole life. My desire in doing that is not to make you doubt that Jesus has saved you. Because when you come to Jesus, what I want you to know about this, when you come to Jesus, the Bible says that you were dead and now you're alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that what you were is passed away. You are something brand new when Jesus saves you. And it is Jesus that saves you. And if he saves you, he will keep you saved for the rest of your life. It's him that does it. And I want you to know that. I want you to trust that. Okay, so if you, everybody look up at me. No notes or anything like that. Everybody look up at me. Everybody with me? You with me? Yeah? Say yeah if you're with me. Yeah. I want you to know something. That if you have chosen to follow Jesus, you've given everything you are to Jesus, and you belong to Jesus, then he is everything. He is your complete identity now. He will shape who you become, what you will go and do, what kind of husband or wife you'll be, what kind of father or mother you will be, what kind of employee you will be. He will define everything about you. And that is not just for now, that is for your whole life. But if you have chosen to follow him now, you are saved. He saves you, and therefore he will keep you for your entire life. But I want you to think about what it means to be defined by Jesus, because there is a whole lot of other things in your life that want to define you. Do you know that? And we are constantly, consistently, daily fighting against other things that want to define us. I want to tell you a couple of stories. Can I tell you a couple of stories? Because it's not always bad things that want to be our identity or rob us of our identity in Jesus. Most of the time, it's very good things. So the first story I want to tell you is about Katie and Ryan. Katie and Ryan got married. They loved each other. They were high school sweethearts. They loved each other. And they always talked about having kids. They wanted to be a father and mother so bad. And so as soon as they got married, they started having kids. They had a boy, they had a girl, and they loved being parents. And they were awesome parents, fantastic parents, right? They were all reading all the cutting edge books on how to be good parents, and they were nailing it. And their kids, man, they were all-star athletes. They were incredible students, and they were destined for greatness. And Katie and Ryan made sure of it. They were awesome parents for their kids' entire life. No regrets. They did everything right that they could think about doing. And eventually both kids went away to college and they got into awesome schools. And after their second kid went away to school, they sat down together in their living room and they just looked at each other and they started crying. And finally, Katie spoke up and she just said, "Who are we? Who are we if we're not parents? Who are we without our kids in our lives? Who are we if we're not checking grades, if we're not shipping off to this baseball game or that soccer game? Who are we?" And they didn't know. If they weren't mom and dad, they didn't know who they were. And they had to figure out what their identity was. But it's not just parents. Let me tell you another story about a true story about a guy named Andrew. Andrew wanted to be a pastor his entire life. The moment he fell in love with Jesus, he was like, "Dude, I'm gonna be a pastor. That's what I'm gonna do with my life." And right after high school, went to Bible college. After Bible college, went to seminary, got a job as a youth pastor, was a youth pastor, enjoyed it, was awesome, was an awesome youth pastor, influenced even knuckleheads like me to come to Jesus. And then Andrew took a job as a senior pastor, a lead pastor. And stuff started going pretty well, doing really good in ministry. But at some point, the church took a turn for the worst and Andrew lost his job as a pastor. Got fired. And he was like struggling. What do I do now? It was really hard for him to get another job because he got fired as a pastor. And that's always on his resume. Always. He can't tell anybody, "No, I didn't get fired," because he did get fired from being a pastor. And it was a weird story. And it sent Andrew into a deep depression. He didn't know who he was if he wasn't a pastor. It would be years after that point that he would ever get a job as pastor. But he struggled and wrestled so much with who he was. Who am I if I'm not a pastor? Who am I if I have to get a job at the coffee shop to make sure I provide for my family? It wrecked him. The whole rug got swept out from under him. He just said, "Who am I?" And the same thing happened to Israel, or the same thing happened to Saul. You saw last night, Saul was told he was no longer going to be king, that God was going to replace him with a whole new king. And you saw that picture this morning in the video. And when Israel chose a king, they wanted a warrior, right? They wanted to be defined as a nation with a warrior king, the big buff king that was going to destroy every other army. But when God chose a king, he chose differently. A kid, right? And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, God famously says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him," a different king. Because he says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Now, this is not God saying that, like, "Oh, everything that you are on the inside is really good." That's not what the Bible teaches at all. In fact, the Bible teaches that your heart is the problem. Your heart is where sin is. That's the thing that's messed up. He's not saying, like, "Oh, don't look past all of, like, the bad stuff that he's doing. On the inside, he's really good." No, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the idea of the heart was the entire person. It says, like, "I'm not impressed just that the outside would look really good. I'm looking at the whole person, their entire identity." And so when God chooses a king, he chooses a person whose entire identity was going to be grounded in God. He said, "I'm not looking at the big buff warrior king. I'm looking at the whole person." And when God chose a king, he chose a kid to be king. And so let me ask you guys, and I want you to think about this. Can you guys look at me? I love that you guys take notes, but would you guys look at me when I ask you this? I want you to think about this. Who are you? If someone was to ask you, what makes you you? What gives you your identity? What gives you your value? What gives you your worth? What makes you you? What would you say? What in your life, if you took it away, would leave you wondering, who am I? Like Katie and Ryan, when their kids went away to school, they're just like, who am I? We're parents. That's what we are. Or Andrew, when he got his church, when he was no longer a pastor, he's like, who am I if I'm not a pastor? What in your life, if someone took it away, would you be left thinking, who am I? What am I? God has declared that Saul would no longer have a kingdom. God is going to replace Saul with another king, a king that will find his whole identity in God alone. But Saul's life begins to spiral out of control. Because he doesn't just say, oh, I'm gonna be replaced as king, I'll go find something else to do. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. If he's not king, he has no idea who he is. If he's not the king, that's who he has been. He doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't know who he is. Being the king that everyone loved, that all of Israel followed, that followed him into battle, that's who he was. It was his entire identity. Being king gave Saul his entire personal value. It was all of his personal worth. If you take that away from Saul, he didn't know who he was. Just like Katie and Ryan's kids, and just like Andrew with the job of being a pastor. And now as we watch his story, we're going to ask, well, what's he going to do? How is he going to react? Right? Would he place his trust? Would this be enough? Right? Saul sins. God takes away his kingship. And so is that going to be enough for God to take Saul and turn him back to God, place his faith in God? Or would he fight? Would he fight to keep his identity as king because he doesn't know anything else? And that's the choice, guys, that we have. God define me, or I'll place my trust, my identity, my worth in something less. Remember, over and over again, you get what you settle for. You get what you settle for. Saul thought there was nothing greater, of nothing more valuable than being king. And so we read in 1 Samuel 18, 11 and 12, when this new king was in the presence of Saul, he was afraid of him. And it says in verse 11, and Saul hurled a spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Listen, verse 12, Saul was afraid of David. Because the Lord was with him, he was defined by God, but God had departed from Saul. There's your answer. What would Saul do? Would Saul turn to God, find his worth, his value in being who God has called him to be? Or would he fight? Fight to keep his identity. And there's a lot, that choice confronts all of us, you guys. Katie and Ryan sitting in that living room that day, realizing, who are we if we aren't parents? They have a choice. Do we seek a different identity? Do we rebuild an identity that is absent of just being a mom and dad of kids who are at home? Or do they lose it and just fall apart? Andrew, if I'm not a pastor, I don't know who I am. He has a choice. Do I rebuild an identity, a different one, or do I lose it? Does everything just fall apart? Do I go crazy? Saul goes crazy. He falls apart. Not being king causes Saul to lose his mind. And we'll see that even worse tomorrow. But clinging to being king, holding on to being king, it will seriously destroy Saul. It will eventually kill him. If he's not king, he'd rather be dead. If he can't find his identity in being king over Israel, he'd rather be dead. But first, it's gonna make a mess of everything. It's gonna make a mess out of his family, his relationships, his country. It will completely ruin his life. And guys, we gotta pay attention. His story is our story. His problem is our problem. Looking to lesser things for our identity will do the exact same thing to us. Settling for less than what we were made for, settling for an identity in something that is less than God, it will make a mess out of our lives, just like Saul. And sure, maybe that mess, it won't kill us. Probably won't. And you know, our quote unquote ruined life won't necessarily be misery or depression. Don't hear me saying that it's, oh man, if you don't follow Jesus, you'll be completely depressed. If you don't find your identity completely in God, you'll be absolutely miserable. Don't hear me say that, because there are times where you won't be. But it will always be less. It will always be less. I've sat with wealthy men who I was trying to talk to about following Jesus. And they say, what can Jesus even offer me? I mean, look at me. Like, I have money. I love my wife. I have a good job. What do I need Jesus for? What would he actually give me? And I looked at, dude, there's one specific story in mind. I looked him in the eye and I said, you know what? We'll never know. Because what you are, even if it is cool and you're into it, it's still less than what God has for you. And what he has is better. And you will never know what that is. You'll never know. So it won't always look like misery, you guys. It won't look like depression. It won't look like a psychopath like Saul. But it will always be less. It will always be less than what God has for you. It will always be a life and identity that is far less than who God has made you to be. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be all that person. I want your identity to be all that God has for you. So I want to close with one last story. This story is personal. This story is about me. I went to a Christian school my whole life, similar to, I think, probably some of you guys. Not because my parents were Christian. They aren't. Not because we went to church. We didn't. But because I had wealthy grandparents who wanted me to get a private education. And thank God for it. But I had a lot of opportunities. I came to Hume Lake when I was in sixth grade. I had a lot of opportunities to accept Jesus, to follow Jesus. I raised a hand here and there. I repeated a prayer here and there. But I didn't let my identity be shaped by Jesus. I wasn't ever all in like some of you guys decided to do last night. Until my senior year in high school. I had some up moments, I had some down moments, but my identity was shaped by friends, by popularity, by a girlfriend, all these things. These were my identities, to where if you pulled these things away from me, I didn't know who I was. I wouldn't have known. It was not Jesus. Until my senior year of high school, I started realizing, like, dude, I don't go to church. None of my friends are Christians. This is the only place that I ever get to hear about Jesus. And now it's gonna end. And it was too much for me. So somebody gave me the opportunity, like I gave some of you guys last night, to just say, dude, I'm all in. I'm all in. And whatever it costs me, I wanna give up all of my other things that would make up my identity. I want Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I'm done with everything else. I just want Jesus. And God saved me. God gave me faith in Jesus. God made me alive when everything about me was dead. And I didn't know what it would be like. I just want to make that real clear. I'm making it a lot clearer to you than it was for me. I didn't know what it would be. I just knew that I wanted to be all in. I just wanted Jesus for the rest of my life. And you know what happened? I lost friends. I lost a girlfriend. I lost everything that at one point defined who I was. All of it was stripped away. I lost everything that at one point gave me all of my value, all of my worth, that at some point, if you took that thing away, I would have said, I don't really know who I am anymore. I lost all of it. And I didn't know what would happen to me. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I didn't know where I was going to go after that. But I knew that everything I found in Jesus was enough. And it was better than anything else I gave myself to. I knew I wanted Jesus. And that's why I can stand here. Not because somebody convinced me at one point, but because I know Jesus is worth everything to me. He defines me, and he always will. And that's why I want to share him with you. Paul writes in Philippians 3, "But whatever gain I had, whatever made up my identity, I count as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, anything that would make up my identity." And he says, "I count them as rubbish, as trash, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Paul found his identity in Jesus and was willing to say, you know what? Everything else is trash compared to knowing Jesus. That's where he wanted to find his identity. And I believe Paul, not because just the Bible says that, but because that's my experience as well. I don't want anything else. I don't want anyone else to make up my identity. You can take everything away from me, but if I have Jesus, it's all I need, because that is my entire identity. And I want that for you. That's what I want for each and every one of you guys, to have your identity grounded, shaped, and formed by Jesus Christ and him alone. Let me pray for you. Father, would you show them like you showed Paul, show them like you've showed me, show them like you've shown my friends and my loved ones that Jesus is worth everything. I pray that you would help my friends understand and grow into what it means to be shaped and to have their entire identity in Jesus Christ. Show them what it means. Show them what it looks like for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.